Now, tonight, to share their thoughts and his thoughts with us is a young man that, I've loved him a number of years, even before he loved himself. And he, he put himself through the school of hard knocks. But he is, to me, one of the most wonderful young men now on this earth. He's got a beautiful wife that even when he was putting himself through the school of hard knocks, she stood by him and loved him. And he's got two perfect daughters now, one's at college. And I have held him in my heart now since long before he got married. Actually dumped me for her, for his wife. No, you got married in the 80 what?
1995.
When?
95.
I met you in the 80s, though.
Yes, about 1986.
When we met at the Swedenborg Church. Anyhow, I've loved him a lot of years, and I think he's a wonderful young man, and that is our David.
Oh, yeah.
You don't look old enough to have a kid in college.
You're my new best friend. And Millie just loves me for my wife. Right? So good evening, all. It's a pleasure to be here. It's been a while. It feels like it's been a while. It's been about 3 weeks. Although it feels much longer. I suppose that means that I've missed you all. Or you've missed me. So... yeah, really, and Millie alluded to this, but really for the last 3 weeks, I've been in preparation for the departure of one of my girls, and not to the free side of life, that is, but which would be devastating, and I certainly can't imagine anybody losing their loved ones, especially their child. And so while she may have left the house, the expenses surely didn't go with her. And so nonetheless, the departure has left a void and empty space as to whether I provided with the principles for a loving, jovial lifestyle and the courage to overcome the obstacles, the challenges, the problems that will certainly confront her, just as they have me and others. It's also inspired me to examine my own direction, my knowledge and desire to move into more wisdom, that is, into an advanced modality of spirituality. Change is good is my belief. Now, I do have a confession to make. I've passed judgment on other individuals. Is there anyone in here who hasn't done that in the last 24 hours? Someone once said that to criticize another is the easiest thing in the world to do, and I can attest to that. And so I was listening to a podcast recently of an individual speaking on his personal mission statement, which I've always related a mission statement to a corporation or an organization, and certainly wasn't a personal mission statement that I ever that ever occurred to me. Their personal mission, representing their personal life's purpose, that thing that we all seem to be seeking. So I was encouraged to ask myself, well, what is your mission statement, David? Do you have a mission? Which begged the question, what value do I bring to this life's expression? And after a moment of pondering, it occurred to me that I know the answer, that I was given the answer previously, several years ago. It was within the last couple of years that I was in the midst of some conflict, some turmoil, and if I remember correctly, it was coming from many directions. I don't recall the circumstances, but that's moot. My leadership qualities were in check, were in question. I think I was not being loving to my wife. Imagine that. Bringing forth those insecurities I knew in my adolescence and early in my own journey upon leaving home at the age of 17. Sinking into examining the depths of my soul from this turmoil, I came to the conclusion that, no, I am not what others may perceive me to be. And if I may say so, I bring beauty into this world. And as is usually the case, these thoughts were set into motion to manifest themselves. We are what we think. Scriptures say in Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God as represented in the name of Jesus Christ." Can you check this, Dan? Oh, is it? Can you hear me? Okay. So gardening is something that's true, and it's something that I value the most. It's one of the things I value much. It's very soothing and brings me much joy. It is so gratifying to see the floral beds, the trees, and vegetables respond to my nurturing, happily blooming and swaying in the breeze while stimulating the senses further with the scents wafting through the breezes. And I can sit in observation of them for hours at a time. It is likewise a meditative and spiritual experience for me. I've recognized how our lives parallel the nurturing of a garden, the need to pull the weeds, the impurities in our lives, those things that usurp the nutrients in our garden. Being mindful of our indulgences and not polluting our home, that is this meat sack that we live in, as well as the soil, the environment that we surround ourselves with. If any of you were present in my first chat here, then you are familiar and have learned of the darkness I consciously allowed into my life in the form of what Millie likes to refer to as the devil, drugs and alcohol, and lots of it. And so while this form of nurturing of gardens involves the exterior human material aspects, that part of who we are that is manifest by our thoughts, actions, and deeds, there is the spiritual immaterial side, as well as the deserving of nurturing and growth and where it shall begin. The miracle of watching the seed develop into a seedling and then into a blossoming beauty allows us to see the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, God, in action. Something inside that seed contains the blueprints for all its existence and is the creational spirit that resides in all. I'll observe the seedling's growth as it manifests into the likeness of God in the form of a beautiful rose. And to promote the growth and maintain the beauty that it is, occasionally that spirit within is interrupted by a fallen limb, disease, man pruning, trimming, and yes, this may sound like a negative. Nonetheless, these problems are required for its growth and to maintain its beauty. I'm reminded of my neighbor who had asked for my advice on a lemon tree she had growing in her backyard, next to and under one of the bedroom windows. Well, the tree was a bit too large for its location and was growing awkwardly. Clearly, it was in need of major cutting, pruning, trimming, which posed a problem for her, the fear of how it will turn out. And so she could not bring herself to do the cutting. I told her that it has to be pruned, and nothing happened until she called me several weeks later and asked if I would perform the trimming, pruning for her. Trimming and pruning in such a way that created areas, space, or a void that allowed for it to grow into and mature into the beauty that it is. a vine is trimmed in such a way as to allow for it to grow into that space, that void that was left. I recognized as well in our own lives that these voids, these this emptiness, this space is opportunity for change, for growth. And now my firstborn has embarked on her journey, leaving us a feeling of loss. An emptiness, a void to fill. And it has encouraged me to look ahead in my own journey. Because beauty takes on many forms. So recently, I was listening to a speaker, a highly sought-after speaker, who said this and touched a chord within me that sung out with a resounding yes. You know what the single largest problem that people have is? That they believe that they shouldn't have them. And with problems comes growth. We are meant for growth so that we have together something to give, because life is happening for us and not to us. And so often in our lives we encounter difficulties, bumps in the road, struggles that ultimately shape us. And quite often we are looking for someone to blame for our lack of, our struggles and insecurities. Throughout my adolescence, I used to have a longing for someone to reach out to me, because there was no way I was ever going to initiate conversation. But I wanted to have friends. We are often reminded by Miss Millie that we choose our parents, our lives, before descending upon earth. I was so insecure in myself, due in large part to whom I could have spent a lifetime blaming, my father. And it reminded me of the quote that the father is child to the man, and how our adult life is affected by how we are raised, and leaves me wondering how Megan will fare in her newfound adulthood. What will she blame me for? Well, I blame my father for beating the turd out of me on a daily basis for having wet the bed, and replace it with an enormous insecurity, compelling me to retreat into myself and avoid folks altogether. My preference was to be alone, and yet I was so happy and carefree when I was. I blame my parents for the shaming that accompanied this. I blame my parents for my want of pursuing self-indulgences to escape this insecurity. I blame my mom for her strict adherence to disciplining us into performing our chores, laundry, and learning to cook when I could be outside enjoying life. I blame my wife, Beth, for always calling me out and pointing out where I could use improvement, often referred to as criticism. And yet, if we chose our parents, then we chose them because of the lessons of the creational spirit. And if we are going to blame someone for the alleged bad in our lives, then we have to blame them for the good in our lives. Excuse me, I need some water. I blame my father for my ability to find joy and happiness within myself, because it was in my adolescence as well where I discovered, in spending so much time alone, a genuine source of happiness and strength within my spiritual self. I blame my father for insisting that anyone who walks through that door for the first time will feel welcomed right at home and not left alone. I blame my mother for her strict adherence to discipline, because it was this where I learned to cook. Clean, do my laundry, and learn self-responsibility without relying on others to take care of my personal needs. And of course, my wife for calling me out. I suppose that's why I'm perfect now. And it was the inability to befriend another, the inability to stand before a group and publicly speak without being traumatized with stage fright, that ultimately gave me the desire and strength to overcome this fear by repetitive training. And I would never have thought, though the desire existed, that I would be standing before you all and chatting, regardless of what was written when I received my Indian guide, who thought otherwise. And when I received my Indian guide back in the 80s, or actually I think it was in 92, 93, there's no way you would have ever seen me up here. However, Black Thunder, my Indian guide, this is what was written. I, Big Thunder, wishes to walk with you. If you choose to have my energy join you as you walk through your trails of life, you feel that at times you're speaking and no one is hearing. You feel at times that others are not aware of your abilities, and I, Black Thunder, understand this because I find you do not even hear your own thoughts as they speak to you. You have not begun to hear all the deeper thoughts, and as we talk together, you will find the doors opening, as if to a great well of truth that will carry you into great adventures of joy of learning. And someday, we will speak together, and many will listen. So be patient. You are expanding into great sounds of expansion, and we will have much to say. And so I speak today through the free and undeserved help that God gives us to respond to his call to become partakers of the divine nature and of eternal life. And so I encourage you to seek. Excuse me. Didn't get to finish writing all my notes. So I encourage you all to reach deep within the crevices of your own soul. To go where no man has gone before. And uncover your own mission. As for my mission statement, it's to serve through the grace of God and deliver healing and beauty through the gifts bestowed upon me to all that I encounter. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation would be able to separate us from the love of God as represented in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Short and sweet. Thank you, Dorothy. Yeah.